Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Shaman's Cave. I'm Renee Barbeau.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sandra Ingerman, and welcome to the Shaman's Cave. So there are many Facebook pages out there, as we all know, many Instagram accounts, lots going on in social media. And so on one of my pages, I had somebody post about how she travels with air plants. And I started to think about that. And air plants, I actually just got one. They're just little beings that they don't live in soil. They just live in the air, and you can hang them. You can stick them in shells. You just have to soak them in water really good once a week. And so it brought up the whole issue of bringing sacred objects with us when we travel, you know, creating sacred space when we travel. And many years ago, I can't remember when it was, I was doing five-day workshops in a row, and I really love my land, And I was going to come home between each workshop, but I was mostly going to be gone. So what I decided to do was I got one of my little square altar cloths. It's not very big. And I started walking around my land, and I picked up old bark that had fallen off my favorite tree. And I picked up some favorite rocks and even some leaves and some pine cones. And I put it in it's, I would say it's 8x8. I should have it here, but sorry, I don't. It's behind me. I could get my camera to follow me. But and I traveled with it everywhere. So I was always connected to my land. I was always connected to the land. The land was always with me. And it's interesting because I fit into this category. In shamanism, a lot of shamans would never travel to do their work because they felt that their power came from their land. Mm. If they left their land, they would lose their power. And I'm a bit like that. I was on the road teaching for 300 days a year, but where I always felt the strongest is when I taught in New Mexico. Mm. Just because of my connection. So, Renee, what about you? Do you with sacred things?
Yeah, when you were talking, I had this experience. I don't know. I might have brought it up a while back, but last winter I got to the desert and I was taking my wind walk, and all of a sudden I thought the mountains told me that I was done there and it was time to go. And so I put the next day, this is how, you know, spontaneous I can be with these things. I put the house up for sale, but then, and it sold. But then I went to, I was up on Whidbey checking something out one weekend, because, you know, that's where I'm primarily living here. And I thought, okay, well, I'll let the desert go. And I drove into the grocery store parking lot. And all of a sudden, this was during the sale, all of a sudden I had this awareness of, well, this is what it will feel like if you let the other land go. Like that, this is going to be your land, you know, not the grocery store, but this is going to be your landmark if you let the other place go. And I thought, like, well, it didn't really exactly feel like the anchoring of the desert and the, you know, the trees that I had been looking for. And so when you talk about having this, you know, your land being so relational to you, when I moved to the desert reluctantly, you know, one day the mountains filled me up with this, it was just this energy that I was an undeniable filling up of the land, and I knew that I was supposed to be there. And so that didn't happen in reverse. So I believe that even though I'm up anywhere, that I take that a lot of my healing energy comes from that desert grid that I have lived in 30 years. And that even still on Whidbey, as long as I have that anchor, mm-hmm. I can be other places.
Right. Yeah. No, it's really important to know how to carry the land with you. And I guess because I'm such a ceremony addict, I used to say to people that one time in a workshop, my spirits wouldn't let me do a ceremony because I was so addicted to doing ceremonies. Just watch a ceremony and not participate. And so I do, ceremonies are my life and they keep me connected. They keep me connected to spirit and they just give me a sense of well-being because I feel then my spirit is connected in a really good way and anchored to source in a really good way. And so for me, altars are really important, and traveling with an altar became really important to me, just psychologically, emotionally, to always know, well, this rock is from my land. I can talk to it. I can talk to my land again. And, you know, it just made me feel good. And we've actually done a show, not on this particular topic, but on connecting to land before. And I didn't have a good arrival in Santa Fe, as you're talking about how you were able to bring the power of your land to Whidbey and anchor yourself. I didn't have a good Santa Fe, and we were like this, and nothing worked in my life when I moved here. And so finally I decided to journey to the spirit of Santa Fe and ask her why I was having such a hard time here. And she told me, and she gave me 5 things to do, 5 easy things to do. They actually weren't even that hard. And I did all 5. And my life, after I completed all 5, my life changed dramatically for the good. And Santa Fe became my home. And the spirit of Santa Fe remained a teacher of mine in my shamanic journeys until one day she came to me and she said, "I actually have nothing left to teach you. You're free to go." I always felt like I was brought here, that this was not my choice. As we were driving up La Bajada, which is a hill leading to Santa Fe, I was down on the floor of the car holding myself. My cramps were so big, and I was saying, "I can't go there. I can't go there. Stop. It's been too much. It was too much earth school here for me." Mm-hmm. And then Santa Fe came to me and said, "I taught you everything I can. You're free to go. But if you want to stay, Santa Fe will always be your home." And so these relationships with land that you have, that I have, that shamans have, a lot of people do have, I read about it in our Facebook groups, but I don't know how much the collective ever thinks about that, like traveling with something that connects you to your land, traveling with a piece of bark or a stick that connects you to your land or rock. I wonder how many people think about that.
Well, there's 2 thoughts here. The one is, I think we've talked about this too before. I thought when I left Syracuse, I was going to Taos. And, but that's where an apparition, a spirit showed up in the living room with a shell with sage in it, blowing it west, and basically said, "No, this isn't where you stop too short." And I just used to make fun of people who moved to California. So, but that was like the strongest, and it wasn't like I was going to stay there and they were going to teach me. It was like a message to move on. So I did. But when traveling, so, you know, I did this Four Winds program where I created this rock mesa And by the time I got done with it, it was pretty bulky and heavy. And then I had this, you know, I had the chinupa that I also carried. And so one time, this is when it all shifted for me. One time I was going through security in Lima, and I usually send my Jaguar with my luggage and stuff like that to protect it. But there was this time where they were going through every piece of luggage. And this man actually, no matter how I told him this was sacred stuff, he was purposely dismantling my mesa, my chinupa, the whole thing. It was so hard on my soul that I decided that that was just not the way that I was going to travel. And I realized that these rocks, you know, these rocks that we carry and stuff, or the wind whistle, that they're also symbolic. And that, you know, that I had put that South Kuya into, you know, my emotional body somewhere, and I had put this other rock in here, and that if I learned to, that I could learn that they were all still connected to me as long as I wanted them that way. And then, you know, at some parts, a point in my life that I probably dismantled some of that as well. But that what I was carrying was the essence of the land, or that I was carrying the essence of the teaching. And that doesn't get, that can't be mauled at the airport. And you traveled a lot, so you understand, like, how, you know, I learned, then I started, when I teach on the East Coast or something, I ship boxes. Yeah. So I just don't even have to go through the explanation with people of, you know, what this is, or, and, you know, and that kind of thing. But there's one thing I do want to share that my friend Anka taught me. My friend Anka, she was this Curandera woman who, you know, she just was just a wise woman. And she always reminded me that more important than carrying my tools on the road was to carry my energy on the road with me. And she gave me this little simple exercise about when I was sleeping somewhere else, to imagine myself rolling up my energy at the end of the night, at the end of the morning, and putting that back in my backpack as I carried on, you know, to like cut the cords of where I was sleeping, roll up my energy, pack it along, and take it on the journey, so that when you know you get down on the road, you've got all the parts of you with you.
Yeah, I used to do something different but similar with flying. I never had jet lag until I would say my last 10 years of traveling. And I always did a thing before I went on a plane where I asked my soul to travel with me, so it kept up with me, so that we were all together when I landed, and I never got jet lag. So that's...
Well, my editor, when she was just reading a chapter of the book I was writing about, I think it was, I don't know if it was on the travel section or the chapter summaries, where I talked about one of my simple exercises is that... And it just happened one day, I just saw it, was that I send the Jaguar with the luggage. And the, you know, it just goes. And so all of a sudden, it's like, sometimes you have these visions, all of a sudden my luggage just comes out, I was at JFK or something, and there's the Jaguar sitting proudly on the luggage. So if you have a power animal, some of them really like to go on your luggage with you, and to take care of you in a certain way, like, you know, to go in the hold of the airport with that luggage, so that nothing happens to it along the way. And it just used to make me chuckle when my luggage would come out and I would see my power animal sitting on top of it, like, Mom, I did a great job
here. I have a really funny story about that. I did not use a power animal, but what I used to do when I used to travel, because at Albuquerque, you have to change planes everywhere. There's no way to really go direct. And so I would sage my bags, you know, that had all my clothes and all my objects and everything for the workshop. And I would instruct it to show up with me. And so this one time, I I was going to teach in somewhere back east. I can't remember where. And the plane was supposed to be nonstop. It wasn't supposed to stop somewhere. And I told my luggage to go with me to this place. But the plane stopped in Kansas City. And I had told my luggage not to get off the plane for any purposes. And so we get to where we are, and my luggage doesn't come off the plane. And the stewardess says there were like 8 people on this plane. There wasn't that much luggage. And the guys went back and checked, and there was my luggage hiding. So even with these little rituals, we have to give good directions, like end up with me wherever that is.
Exactly. That's the important part about your rituals is, you know, like even, you know, I'm learning with AI is how do you really put those words together so that it gets the, you know, the idea of really what you want. And for somebody like me, who's not always really clear, but that's like a really good example of how you have to be clear with your ceremonies and your intentions. And, you know, I always refer back to my friend Audrey, who used to say, you know, spirit wants to give you what you want, but doesn't know the difference between a nickel and, you know, $1 million. You know, so money isn't the word. It's just like, I need $255 to pay this bill. Where's it going to come, you know, and really be more specific. And that goes when you're traveling and carrying your tools with you. Now, I'm just lucky. I have a black rock in the car. I have a black rock in my home. I have multiple black rocks because for me, that's just the greatest way to decharge energy is like to, you know, if I'm really stressed out to, you know, carry this rock, I always travel with a wind whistle. Because that can always make me, you know, bring me groundedness. And then I always travel with a book, but it's usually because there's somebody along the route that I'm going to be giving the book to. So I always bring along a book. And, you know, and that's about it. That's what I take now. And it, you know, especially with carry-on luggage being way more popular these days than checking your baggage, it's like we learn to travel light. But these rituals that you can do beforehand are really central and key.
Yeah, that's really important. Yeah, and I think that's a good place for us to let people use their imaginations and also share on the Facebook page or on YouTube what you travel with. The other thing that Renee and I were talking about, and this would be more, I think, something that maybe all of you might be willing to share some information with us. We're kind of moving into a new phase of life, it seems like. There was a time where people were just flocking to online workshops and now in-person workshops are going on again, but it seems to us that a lot of teachers and a lot of centers are struggling with what are people connecting with now spiritually and what do they want to connect with? Like what kind of forms of teaching are they looking at? You know, are you interested in being in person again? Are you burnt out being online, or you still love being online, or are you taking a break for a while? It would be really nice for us to know how are people connecting spiritually right now. What are your interests right now? It seems like the spiritual community is entering into a whole new cycle. I'm seeing people who have been doing the work for a while who are hitting states of evolution that are just blowing my mind. But yet I'm also seeing a lot of people showing up on Facebook's pages saying, what is shamanism? So it's like there's lots of phases of students who studied so long now they're doing their own work, and now they're out in nature, loving nature and not looking for anything else. And so for those of you who are stepping onto a path, who have been on a path for a while, how are you looking to connect spiritually, more locally, in communities, or where are your desires? We're just curious. We're all teachers out there are trying to figure out what's in people's minds right now. So anything that you're willing to share with us would be great.
Yeah, I think she says it pretty well. You know, what are you doing, and how are you reaching out to other people, and how are you feeling that connected? How we feel connected is when you comment and share, and thank you for all the generous donations. We've gotten some new weekly monthly subscriptions. Thank you to those people. And the YouTube comments, if you really want to see what people are listening and going to, go over to our YouTube channel, subscribe, and leave a comment there, because people are really heartfelt over, especially on the YouTube channel, where they really tell us about what their experiences of the show and each other. So I love to go there. It's a really a good feel-good thing. And then today somebody was commenting on our Facebook page about a show we did in 2020. And I thought, wow, so there's an archive of four or five years that you can go back and start to really go through, because the information, and she said it simple, truth is truth.
Right.
It's valuable today as it was when we shared it. So stick with us, and we're happy to be here with you, and we will see you again soon.
Yeah, and my husband Woods commented on the YouTube page the other day. So get your friends, get your partners, get them to subscribe, get them to like. It just helps us continue doing this work in a graceful way. So thank you, everyone. Blessings to you. Goodbye.